The scripture this morning is 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 31. Let me go for it. Where the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but God unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring nothing. And will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world of wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised, that God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made us unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. And Paul is talking here about several things. One of the primary things he's talking about is foolishness versus wisdom. And there are whole bodies of scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, about wisdom and foolishness. And wisdom is always preferred to foolishness, except Paul kind of turns that upside down because he says things like the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of people. And he goes into quite a bit about the human understanding of wisdom. He starts out with the message about the cross is foolishness to those who don't understand it. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And we understand the power of the cross in the way that Paul does, or we wouldn't be here on Sunday morning. In those times, it would have certainly seemed like a foolish message that anybody would consider to be divine, a human person in the first place, and in the second place, one who had actually been executed as a common criminal by the shameful execution method of crucifixion. That would be sheer foolishness. Obviously, such a person could not be worthy even of respect, let alone worship. And he talks about how the Jews demand signs. Think about in John's gospel, people are always demanding that Jesus show them a sign, preferably one that will feed them and heal them and help them. And Jesus does show a lot of signs. They keep asking for more, like they don't have enough. And Greeks desire wisdom. Now, remember, Paul is writing here to Jews and to Greeks and to others. He's writing to everybody, Gentiles as well as Jews, who aren't so much looking for a sign from God. They are seeking wisdom, and they're doing all kinds of things to become wise, education and experience and so on, to seek wisdom. And Paul says, it's not there. That's not where to find it. And he goes on to say, you, all of you, you Corinthians, that's who he's writing to, you Corinthians, think about your situation when you were called to be part of the body of Christ. You were not particularly wise, not necessarily wealthy, not necessarily strong. You were just ordinary people, and maybe some of you were less than ordinary people. And yet, God called you. God called you, and God's message is a message of love and a message of wisdom and a message that doesn't necessarily make sense. Now, I tend to call myself stupid a lot. This is not a good habit. I don't recommend it for you, but I tend to call myself stupid when I do something wrong. And I do that thinking about it this week because I knew I should have left earlier, but now I'm stuck in this traffic jam. I'm stupid. Or I knew I should have worked on this week's sermon before next week's sermon, and now I'm here unprepared. I'm stupid. That's not exactly what I did this week, but kind of. But I tend to call myself stupid in those situations where I have done something even though I knew better than to do that. And if you go back and read Proverbs, you will find that the fools are the ones who pay no attention to God, and the wise are the ones who do what God requests, what God requires. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes are part of the wisdom literature, and they are full of descriptions of the fool, who is not the hero of the story, and the wise person, who is the hero of the story. Wisdom is elevated almost to the level of deity in the Old Testament. Think about the good wife, the wise woman, in Proverbs 31. And why is she so wise? And why is she so close to God? Because she takes care of others. She takes care of her family. She takes care of those who work in her household. She is prudent in her business dealings. She is generous with others beyond her household. She's all these things. She does these things. And so she is considered to be wise. Think about some of the parables in the New Testament. We have the wise and the foolish bridesmaids. And they were waiting for the wedding party to arrive, and their lamps were burning low. And some people, knowing what time the wedding party was supposed to arrive, did not provide themselves with any extra oil. But the wise ones were prepared. They took extra oil just in case they needed it. And in fact, they did need it. They were prepared. They did the right thing. One of the parables is about the man who built a house on the sand and man who built a house on the rock. Now, those two houses might have been identical. They might have been well constructed. They might have been good, knowledgeable builders. And those two houses might have been in all respects identical, except that the one knew to build it on the rock. And so it had a solid foundation. And the other one, who knows why he chose to build it on the sand? He might have thought, well, the view is really nice here, or there's not going to be a flood. I don't have to worry about that. So he was not prepared, and he lost his house. It could be said that wisdom is not so much about what you know as it is about who you know. In this text, we have the Jews demanding signs, the Greek desiring wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified. It's who we know that gives us our wisdom. Christ crucified. And the source of our life. And that's counterintuitive. How can somebody who died be the source of our life unless that person is actually the Messiah and rose again? I have a story about that. One of my divinity school classmates is a stand-up comedian. And he does a thing where he said, no, I'm not, I'll tell you that one later. Ask me about that. That's a tangent. I wasn't even going to go there. So what I want to say is that stupid is as stupid does. And God did not choose us for being wise, for being clever, for being prudent, because many of us, most of us, are not, certainly not all the time. God did choose us, and because God chooses and loves us, God gives us wisdom and understanding, and that is the gift of God and the source of life. Amen.